ladies and gentlemen, get right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roadrunner, honey,
welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You got the right place, the right time. You got the American adversaries. It's drive time, prime time on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5. As I, Christopher Hart, am coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not ever forget, for the best in general dentistry, health-centered dentistry, and mercury-free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. That's right, folks. I'm holding the fort down all by myself, at least for now. Abe Katzman will be joining us a little bit later on in the show. And Jerry Shepherds of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz, he's on his way here right now, so he'll be joining us a little bit later on, too. Nick LaCicero is on the bridge, so you can join us at any time. Just give us a call at 407-774-8255. Yeah, like I said, we'll have Abe Katzman on here in a little while, and boy, do we ever have a lot of stuff to talk to Abe Katzman about. Mike Huckabee has come out bold in a bold statement against the Iranian deal, says that it marches Israel right up to the door of the oven. We'll see what Abe has to think about that. There's also been a lot of other hot rhetoric coming from the likes of Barack Obama and even one John Kerry, saying that if this deal doesn't go through, it will be Israel's fault. Anyway, like I said, we'll take all that up with Abe Katzman here shortly. And I hope you caught last night's show. If you did not, of course, after tonight's show, you can go to our archives at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and you'll be able to pull that show down and check it out at your leisure. And we addressed the question, who are we? Yeah, there's this this Russian billionaire out there. His name's Yuri Milner, and I don't know if you heard, but last week it was in the news that he and Stephen Hawking made the announcement he's going to spend $100 million on the search for extraterrestrial life. And there's a couple of big telescope, radio telescopes, basically big, huge radio antennas, and one in West Virginia and one in California that he's going to rent for 10 years. And they're going to put together data on like a billion stars looking for life out there. And he took out a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal and evidently some other publications, too, somebody told me. But I just saw it in the Wall Street Journal. And he asked the two questions, are we alone? And then he asked this question, who are we? And I wanted to address that question last night because we need to take examination of who we are, especially in light of these revelations with Planned Parenthood, with the liberal bent that we are going off in, this liberal direction, if you will. The arming and of Iran. And in other words, the arming of people who support terrorism around the world. Who are we that we are doing this? And who are we that we're going to sit idly by and allow it to happen? Or are we going to sit idly by and allow it to happen? I guess that's the question each one of us has to ask ourselves. But if we do sit idly by and don't do anything about it, except maybe grouse around and complain a little bit, well, we're no better than those people that we're complaining about. We must look at ourselves and examine ourselves in the mirror, so to speak. And, you know, Jeb Bush is in town today. And with these Republicans going on, with all this shenanigans going on in Washington, D.C., we talked about that last night on the show, too. I think the Republican Party needs to take a good, hard look at itself in the mirror and ask itself, what do we really stand for? Do we really stand for the rights of all citizens, even the unborn? If so, then if we're going to call a special session for a Sunday in the Senate, perhaps we should actually take up a bill that deals with that question. Who are we? And if we're looking, as I said last night, if we're looking out into the universe to see if there's other life forms out there, let's assume for a minute there's one or two other ones out there. And they're at least maybe somewhere along the same advancement as us or maybe further. Well, they're probably looking for us too, right? And what do we want them to see when they find us? Do they want them to see us dissecting and butchering little infants? Is that what they want? Is that what we want them to see? Is that who we are? Is that who we have become? And is that what we're going to settle for? Or are we going to turn this thing around on a dime and get back going in the right direction? And I don't think the likes of the crowd in Washington, D.C., I'm talking about the Republicans. Now, Democrats, I expect Democrats to act like Democrats, but I don't expect Republicans to. I don't expect that crowd in Washington, D.C., who's being led by, or I should say misled by, the likes of Mitch McConnell and John Boehner. And I don't see it in the likes of Jeb Bush. He's just more of the same old, Jeb. If you're out there listening, if your people are out there listening, you ain't going to cut it. You're a loser. I'm sorry. You got a lot of money, you got a lot of donors, but you don't have a lot of oomph. And we can see it. We can see it in your body language. You don't even act like you really want it. And maybe that's because instinctively, intrinsically, you know you don't have the solutions. You don't have what it takes to get this country out of the morass that it's in. And it is in bad shape, and we need bold solutions, not milquetoast, not lukewarm. We need bold. That's why people are supporting Trump, because they see in him bold solutions. He doesn't even have to propose any. They just see it because they see it in his demeanor. They see it in his attitude. They see it in the generalities that he says about the greatness of America, and we deserve and we should be doing a whole lot better than we are now. And I've seen nothing out of you that suggests to me that you are up to that task. I certainly don't see it out of the Republicans in Congress. You know, when Lair came up with the idea of the show, he wanted to call it the adversaries because in discussions with him, I described how we have an adversarial form of government, and it's a form of government meant to prevent tyranny. But for it to work, you have to have some honest-to-God adversaries, and we don't have them right now. That's what we see in Donald Trump, an honest-to-God adversary for the likes of Barack Obama and the liberals. We certainly don't see it in Congress, where it's more important to refund the import-export bank. Oh, lo and behold, they just couldn't do without some money for a few months. No, not the import-export bank. You know, all the other business, well, we'll get to that sooner or later, but we got to take care of the import-export bank. Now that's the kind of BS that we're sick and tired of. We don't want it anymore. And that's what we see in you, Jeb. That's what we see in you. When we look at your face, that's what we see. We see Mitch McConnell. We see John Boehner. We see St. Pauli girl Ryan. The BSers. The establishment. The same old, same old. And we know that's not going to cut it. And there's the president out there today talking about how he wants to make sure that the person that he gives the keys to is qualified for the job. Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black or something like that? Right? Here's the man with the least amount of qualifications probably ever elected to the office, and he's going to make sure that the next person is qualified. Now, I wonder what that means if we were to elect the likes of, say, a Donald Trump or a Ted Cruz. Does that mean he's going to refuse to hand over the keys? Is that what it means there, Mr. Obama? And see, I kind of don't blame Barack Obama for acting like he does, in particular since he was took the spanking in the last election and he's thrown caution to the wind, because at every turn the Republicans have acquiesced or bowed down or kissed up to him. So why shouldn't he feel like he's riding high? Why shouldn't he feel like he's the one who should determine the qualifications? When have the Republicans ever taught him a political lesson? And oh yes, he needs to be taught a few political lessons. But oh no, we were told by the likes of St. Pauli girl Ryan why we had to pass that trade bill. Otherwise, Barack Obama would be a lame duck president and his own party would have brought it about. Yeah, we as conservative Republicans could never let the most liberal, the most aggressive president in history. We could never allow him to be a lame duck and be useless anymore, could we? And especially we couldn't allow his own party to bring it about. Oh, no. No, we as good conservatives and Republicans must preserve this liberal president. And as a matter of fact, we must embolden him. We must make it easier for him to destroy this country. Thank you very much, St. Pauli Girl Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and Johnny Bonehead Boehner. That's what you gave us. We put you there, and we gave you the army, the legions, if you will, the majority in the House and the Senate to slow this president down, if not stop him in his tracks. And you buoy him on. You empower him. You embolden him. Boy, did we ever get gypped. I tell you what. Did we ever get suckered? Did we ever get gypped? And are we ever PO'd? And that's why Mr. Jebby Boy, Donald Trump, is whooping your butt. And on a dime compared to your dollar. I can't wait to see him in the debates. And by the way, the debates start next week, a week from Thursday. That's August 6th. And we shall see who's in them. I don't know who's on the bubble now. Evidently, they're going to take the average of five polls to determine the top 10 winners. But the debate itself is a sham set up by the doggone establishment so that no real debate can happen. In the debate, there will be no real debate. How can you have a debate between 10 people in 1 hour? You can't even have a debate between two people in 1 hour. It's ridiculous. But if you're the establishment and you don't want your boy Jebby to get nicked up a little bit, why, you just make sure that nobody can say very much, right? Huh. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'll tell you what's not ridiculous, though. That is that we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Abe Katzman, who's joining us live from New York City tonight. All right, so folks, if you would like to ask Abe a question, make a comment, say a prayer with him, call us now at 407-774-8255. I am Christopher Hart. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. Seems like we have all boarded the crazy train, whether we wanted to or not. I am Christopher Hart. I'm joined now by our man, head back to Jerusalem, stopping over in New York City tonight. And, of course, that would be Abe Katzman. Abe, once again, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, it seems like, I tell you, we have gotten on the crazy train. It just keeps getting wackier and wackier when it comes to this deal, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Every day seems to be a new revelation.
And none of them are good. Let me start, though, with the remark by Mike Huckabee, which got a lot of attention in the media, got a lot of attention from the president. Was it over the top where he said that this deal marches Israelis or Israel to the door of the ovens?
Well, you know, this is a little bit of a tough one for me. As a general rule, I would suggest that politicians stay away from Holocaust analogies. The Holocaust was unique. It was, there's just nothing, there really is nothing that compares to it. However, that said, if anything is going to be close to it, this is kind of it. This is, you know, you're talking about the potential annihilation of millions of Jews, millions of Israelis. And I suppose that if you're ever going to use the analogy, this is probably the least bad way of using it, the way that Huckabee did. So I don't think it was a good idea, but I also don't think that it's worth getting all up in arms about.
Yeah, you know, after knowing you and talking to you over the years here now, and it's been a couple of years, thank God, or we've been blessed to have you as part of the show, I kind of, you know, took umbrage with it, you know, a little bristled by it. But then as I thought about it, I think what he was saying was it's the same situation where Jews, Israelis, are facing annihilation. And in that sense, I could kind of see where he was coming from. But I agree, perhaps it wasn't the best way to express it.
Yeah, I think that I think he was coming from a good place, no question about it. And I think that he is seriously bothered by the terms of this agreement, both for what it means for America and what it means for Israel. But he still probably ought to steer clear of that kind of talk, especially when it was targeted at President Obama. And I believe he said President Obama, or maybe the President Obama's deal, has brought Israel to the
right.
Doors of the ovens. As reckless as President Obama has been here, it's the Iranians who are setting up the ovens.
Yeah, indeed they are, almost literally speaking. Of course, he fired back with some pretty harsh rhetoric today, or I guess earlier today, over there in Nigeria, I think he is. And he also went on to say that this deal has a great deal of support. As a matter of fact, I think he said it, 99% of the people support it, 99% of the scientists support it. And the reason why, he said, is that it's a good deal. And he constantly chides the opposition to the deal, the opponents to the deal, to, okay, give me a better idea. What would be a better solution? Obviously, we don't agree that it's a good deal. What would you say to the president, though, if he were to say to you, okay, what's your idea? If you got such a great idea, what is it?
Well, I'd say a few things. First of all, if it's a bad deal on its own terms, don't enter it. You're better off with no deal than with a bad deal.
Especially while they're at the table.
The U.S. has been there before. The U.S. has walked away from deals before. The U.S. walked away from SALT II. And war didn't break out with the Soviet Union. So you can walk away from a deal and it doesn't necessarily mean war. You can hold out, you can renegotiate, you can try to come up with something better. And if he's serious about having military options, about all options being on the table, including the military options, then you combine that with some strong sanctions and you ought to be able to get a better deal. This deal just doesn't pass the minimum threshold of a deal that helps anybody, and that's why everybody's against it. Believe me, people in Israel would love to see a good deal. They don't want to see a war either, but they pay the price when war breaks out. But doesn't mean that they want this deal. This deal is something that creates an existential threat to the people of Israel.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the Soviet Union. Of course, Reagan walked away and ended up getting a better deal in the long run. So that it's obvious that this president was just anxious to get any deal, and then on the surface of it, he claims that it's got everything in it, but we find out that, if I'm not mistaken, in testimony last week before Congress, the Secretary Kerry admitted, and the Secretary of Energy Moonies, admitted that they're still writing the details. In other words, all the details have yet to be written by the IEA in Iran.
Right. Plus, there are a couple of supposedly secret side deals. And I think there was also it was revealed, I don't know exactly what this was, but that the deal contemplates Iran taking its own, I guess its own samples, perhaps its own soil samples, but its own samples for testing in terms of whether it's abiding by the agreement or not. It's farcical. It just gets more and more ridiculous.
And now John Kerry's out there shooting off his mouth, saying that if for some reason the deal is not approved, or the veto is overridden by Congress, that'll be Israel's fault. And of course he's trying to, I guess, pick a scapegoat out should that happen. I don't think it's going to happen, but how do you think that's going to go over with Israelis?
It already has gone over very poorly, as you might expect.
Yeah.
Between Kerry and President Obama, who I think last week on television had another sort of anti-Semitic, anti-Israel dog whistle comment, where he told, I think it was John Stewart,
right,
that he was facing a lot of money and a lot of lobbyists, was the way he put it. That's who's opposing the deal.
Right.
And Kerry saying that it's going to be Israel's fault. Well, you know, maybe had Israel been at the table and had a voice in this, then maybe you could complain about Israel's conduct or Israel's position here. But Israel was left out of this, and even though they're very much a focus of what this agreement is about, so for Israel to be opposed to this deal, you know, why would they be opposed to it if it's a good deal? Really, what is the advantage? They would very much like a tough deal on Iran. And it's pretty clear that this isn't it. And it's clear to everybody. Remember, this is across the board from right to left in Israel. The entire political spectrum is against this deal. This isn't a matter of people who believe in settlements versus people who don't believe in settlements. This is everybody in the entire country is against this deal.
All right, Abe, if you'll stay with me through the break, we'll pick this up on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with Abe Katzman. He's an excellent columnist. You can find his work at his website, abekatzman.com. Of course, it comes out in publications periodically when he writes an article. So check him out, and we'll be right back. Please don't go away.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries. If you can take it.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got us here on a damp Monday afternoon. So if you're out there on the road, just give yourself a few extra minutes. Make sure you get there safe and sound and take us with you. We'll get you there informed. I am Christopher Hart. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. We have our man Abe Katzman coming to us live tonight from New York City. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. We're talking about this Iranian deal. Ken, I'll get to your question here in just a minute. We have a caller who has a question for you there, Abe. But first, let's assume the deal is going to go through, and it's going to be a bad one, and we know it's going to get worse as time goes on. What do you think the next president should do when he takes office?
Oh, boy. Well, I guess a lot depends on what kind of progress there's been by Iran by that point. But I would think that to the extent that the president would not be bound by this agreement, I think that it should be undone as much as possible. And I think that would probably be the inclination of every single one of the Republican candidates running.
I was just getting ready to ask, do you think they should come out and make a statement to that effect? Or do you think it'd be better if they just sort of quietly let Israel know we got your back sort of thing?
Yeah, I think for the moment, I think it's probably best to let things play out in Congress. While they can express their opposition, while the candidates can express their opposition to the deal, I don't think that kind of tipping their hand yet is necessarily the right move.
And it's my understanding that they have to a person expressed their displeasure with this deal and think that it's a bad deal. So
I believe so. Yeah.
Just some more emphatically than others. Well, that leads me to the caller and his question. Ken, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there. And your question for Abe Katzman, please.
Okay, thank you very much. We all know that the squeaky wheel gets the grease or the oil.
Yeah.
And my question is, where's the outrage from the Jewish community in America? Where's the outrage from the Jewish community in the world that's not going to march on Washington? If this had been a gay issue, if this had been any kind of other issue that would have caused for those to march in Washington, we would have got so much attention. Christians and Jews marching together to the tune of millions on Washington. We've got to come out on this outrage. If I was going to die and I felt somebody was getting a bomb to kill me and my family, I'm going to do a whole lot more than just be outraged about it.
Ken, stay on the line. I want Abe to address the question. And I you know, this isn't done yet. We may yet see marches on Washington, D.C. I think it'd be a great thing for Trump to organize one, maybe. But Abe, go ahead, please respond.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that you're seeing different things from different sectors. From the Israelis, you're seeing, again, uniform opposition to this. They are raising objections to it at every level they can of the U.S. government. There's a somewhat of a limit as to what Israel as a foreign country can do. Now, the better question is, what about the Jewish community in America? And there has been there has been somewhat of a backlash against the administration. It hasn't been widely it hasn't been in the form of marches on Washington, at least not yet. But last week there was a collection of 120 leaders of major Jewish organizations that met with Secretary Kerry in New York, and they apparently, it was a closed-door meeting. They apparently had some very tough and very pointed questions for him. He had his usual sorts of responses, including saying what a terrible idea it would be if Israel would actually attack Iran. But part of the problem is that much of the a good chunk of the Jewish community in America leans Democratic and favors President Obama. I'm not sure that I understand fully why, but part of the Jewish community tends to be very liberal and very loyal to the to their Democratic president. And there would be, in turn, it's believe it or not, the reaction within the Jewish community is not uniform condemnation of this deal. That's mostly what the reaction is, but it's not uniform.
You're talking about in the United States?
In the United States.
Okay.
In the United States.
Ken,
right.
Did you want...
In Israel, it is.
All right. Ken, did you want to follow up on that before I let you go?
Well, just that this troubles me that the community that's more at risk of potential death 20, 15, 20 years down the road or 10 or whatever it is passive towards, you know, setting this up for their own kids and their grandkids and not to say they're sympathetic to the Democrats and loyal. Isn't death going to be the game changer for them?
I think that I agree with you. I'm not sure that this is completely in the realm of the completely rational. But keep in mind also, this is not only about Israel.
Remember that
Iran is the whole issue with their intercontinental ballistic missile program.
Yep.
They don't need those to reach Israel. It's our American children and grandchildren who are going to be facing this also.
Yep. They chant death to Israel, death to America. Hey, Ken, have you ever heard us talking about Roxy Pacifics? Have you gotten any of that stuff yet? Roxy Pacifics. It's great for your skin, cuts, burns, you name it. If you'll stay on the line and give Nick your address, I'll have him send you out a bottle. It's great stuff. Believe me, it works.
Okay.
All right. God bless you. Thanks. Excellent phone call. But you're right. And he's right, too, Abe. You know, what I'd like to see is the Jewish community, the Christian community, the conservative community, the Tea Party community all come together and march on Washington, D.C. against this deal, because it's a bad deal for everybody except the Iranians.
I agree. I think that would be a fine thing to happen. I wouldn't want to see this be I think people and within the Jewish community are a little bit wary of this becoming a Jewish issue, of this becoming an Israeli issue.
Right.
And it's that makes people uncomfortable. I think it's important to stress that this is an issue for all Americans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Jewish people will be the first ones they come after, and then they're going to come after the rest of us, or maybe all simultaneously. It doesn't matter. Either way, it doesn't matter. We all need to be outraged by this, and I know we are. We all need to do something about it. And a march on Washington, that's a great idea. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate appreciate you being out there. Abe, let me ask you this. Ashton Carter went to Israel last week, and evidently there was supposed to be a little presser when he got off the plane, and Prime Minister Netanyahu immediately grabbed him by the arm, led him off, I guess, to the woodshed. Can you give us an idea what you suppose happened?
Well, the meetings were behind closed doors. They did skip the what was going to be a little bit of a public relations joint statement kind of thing, and instead they had some long closed door meetings. Just what was said there, I don't know. I can imagine that it had an awful lot to do with laying out objections to the Iran deal. I imagine it also had to do with the United States trying to encourage Israel to go along with it, maybe by sweetening the deal for Israel a little bit.
That's what occurred to me, is that maybe he was over there, you know, trying to smooth things over with some arms, promises for some more weapons. And then all of a sudden they're talking about now releasing Jonathan Pollard. Do you think that he would be released had this deal not gone through?
They're claiming that one thing has nothing to do with the other, but I don't buy it.
No.
I think that this is a carrot that they have been holding, waiting for the right time to use it, and they think that this is the right time. I think they're miscalculating in terms of how anxiously Israel wants Pollard released. I think Israel would very much like to see Pollard released, but not at the expense of an existential threat. Just is not that meaningful to them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would imagine Israel would be happy that he is released, but they're still going to be mad about this deal.
Sure. And there's not, there. You know, in Israel, there's Pollard has I don't think that in Israel it's fully appreciated just what Pollard did. In Israel, a lot of people look at it as, well, he was somebody who served the interests of Israel, and therefore he's a hero. I don't think it's understood the degree to which he betrayed the United States of America, and it's inexcusable. And regardless of, you know, he didn't do this all out of the goodness of his heart. He did it for money.
Right.
Supposedly, he was willing to sell this information to other countries besides Israel also. He's no hero. If they release him, they should release him on humanitarian grounds. That seems to be the consensus among a lot of people who thought that he should be locked up for a long time. But he served 30 years. He's in poor health, and maybe it's time to let him go. But again, not at the expense of this deal.
Okay. Hey, before I let you get out of here, I want to ask you about something that's happening here in America. And first, I want to know if you think that it's happening in Israel, and then what your opinion of it is. Because to me, whenever I have a moral issue, I look to the Judeo-Christian heritage to answer it for me. And this thing with Planned Parenthood, how big of a story is it in Israel? And what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I actually don't know how big a story it's been in Israel.
Well, yeah, you've not been there.
I believe it was, but I'm sure that it's probably drawn at least some attention. Israel has a relatively liberal abortion law, but it's not unrestricted. You actually need approval from a panel in order to get an abortion there. There are also organizations that encourage women who are considering abortion to give up their babies for adoption. There are a couple of very strong organizations doing that kind of work. So it's not quite the free-for-all that it is here. I think that people there are, if to the extent the story has been a story, are appalled by the idea of selling fetal tissue from abortions or profiting from it in some way. And I think that's the coldness with which it seems to be done here, I think is really what's so appalling. It's whatever you think of abortion, you shouldn't take it lightly.
No doubt. Yeah. That was the reaction I expected, because this, it is appalling. And it doesn't say much for us if we, you know, continue to allow that to happen. And it doesn't say much for us if we continue to allow this deal to happen. We'll do everything we can, you know, and certainly, Abe, you're in our prayers. Israel is in our prayers. But you're right. This is, Israel's a part of this, but this is about all of us. This is a threat to the world peace. And it's something that we just have to fight this. Even if we lose at this round, we still have to continue to fight so that the next president will perhaps make it better. But I'm sorry.
I said, let's hope so.
Hope we'll hope and we'll pray, and we'll pray that you make it back home safe and sound. Travel safely, Abe. Once again, thanks for being with us tonight. Enjoy your evening in New York City.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Once again, that's our man, Abe Katzman. He's coming to us tonight from New York City on his way back to Jerusalem, where he'll be there tomorrow. And he comes to us every week normally from Jerusalem, but you can always find his work at Abe Katzman. That's Katzman with an S .com. AbeKatzman.com. We'll be right back. Jet propelled back home from overseas. All right, if you're out there, that's right, folks. Keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheels, and your ears tuned to the American Adversaries as we come to you live on AM 660, The Answer, and FM 105.5. I am Christopher Hart. And now at 6:30 tonight, that's here in about a little over half an hour, the Rays pregame show will start and will be preempted on AM 660, The Answer. That's the bad news. Here's the good news, though. We will still be airing on FM 105.5. That's right. FM 105.5 is not going to carry the Rays games. So we will be, once again, live on the radio right till 7 o'clock on FM 105.5. And if you don't normally listen to FM on your radio, you're probably going to need, it's probably got an antenna on it somewhere you're going to need to deploy for you to be able to pick that up. Once again, you will be able to listen to us right till 7 o'clock, even with the Rays pregame show on FM 105.5. Also, I want to remind you, and John, hold on, I'll get to your phone call here in a second. I want to remind you that a week from today, we'll be doing a live remote broadcast at Dubs Dread Country Club, and you're invited. You can come on out if you like to play golf. It's going to be the world's largest golf outing, and you can go to worldslargestgolfouting.com to register, find out more about it. It's to benefit the Wounded Warriors Project, and this fundraising outing will be going on all over the country, some 120, I think it is, golf courses all over the country. And here in Orlando, it will be going on at Dubs Dread, two tee times, 8 and 1:30. You can play either or both, and it's $55 per round of golf. And if you go to their website, worldslargestgolfouting.com, or give them a call at 407-246-2551. That's Dubs Dread's phone number. Just call them over at Dubs Dread. Make sure you tell them that you heard about it on the American Adversaries, and they'll give you a free round of golf there at Dubs Dread that you can play at your convenience. So we'll be there Monday, August the 3rd. Mike McBath, of course, going to be there. Reggie Branch, a bunch of the NFL players are going to be there as part of the world's largest golf outing, and I hope I'll be seeing you there as well. worldslargestgolfouting.com. And if you don't want to play golf, just come on over and spend some time with us. All right, let's spend some time with John. John, thank you for calling. I appreciate you being out there.
Hey, Christopher, how are you doing?
Excellent, sir.
Hey, I just got a few comments about your opening statements here. You were talking about all this money is being commissioned to find intelligent life out there.
Yeah, $100 million by Yuri Milner.
Even just that in itself shows that there's obviously more intelligent life elsewhere.
I didn't think about that. You got a good point there.
If there is extraterrestrials out there, they're hoping that we do not find them.
They're hiding from us, huh?
Now, the other thing you mentioned, and Obama thinks that he has 99% support for his Iran nuke deal. Well, the problem is that he fails to mention to the general public that they're all Iranians.
That's the only people he hangs around with, like Valerie Jarrett, right?
There you go. Now, getting back to the space deal.
Yeah.
what success do we have about once we find intelligent life in the event that we should? How are we going to get there? Looking at SpaceX's record, I've come up for a new acronym for their nomenclature.
What's that?
Their space nomenclature. Yeah, they can use overted operational propulsion system. OPS.
Oops. I like that. All right, John. Thanks for listening and paying attention.
Care, you guys.
Okay. God bless you. All right. Let's go now to Warren. Warren, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yeah. Hey, first of all, I sent you guys some money well over a week ago, and it hasn't cleared my bank.
I need to run to the bank. As a matter of fact, I got a couple of checks that I'm going to deposit. I'll do it tomorrow, okay? But thank you very much. Yeah, I did get it, and I thank you very, very much. Very generous of you.
Well, we got some late-breaking news on Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader.
That's Cantor that was defeated. Kevin McCarthy took his place. That's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. And he says they're not going to take up the highway bill with the export-import bank in it. And they adjourn on Thursday, so...
Yeah, as a matter of fact...
Down the tubes.
Well, the House is... You're right. They anticipate taking care of their business by Thursday and going on vacation until after Labor Day, so for all of August. And the Senate is going to be left holding the bag on that one. So at least, somebody in the House knows a little bit more about what the priorities should be in this country. And as a matter of fact, the House has already also passed a bill defunding Planned Parenthood. So at least where there are actually more conservatives in the House than there are in the Senate, they are getting some business done.
Oh, there's some dirt out. I know we're running up on the end of the hour, but... There's some dirt out there on one of the people that's high up in Planned Parenthood. Apparently, she has a little side contract.
Ah, is that right?
$203,000 has been sent her way, and all it is a tele. She's got a some kind of corporation, and all the corporation is a telephone number that.
Right. Yeah, it's just a way to funnel money to her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Warren. Thanks for the heads up.
Take care.
Thank you. And once again, thank you for the contribution. God bless you. And you are now a member of the American Adversaries Army. All right. That's right, folks. You can join the American Adversaries Army, too. Just go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Become a soldier like Warren and like a lot of people have already done. You can be a part of the fight. You can actually say you are doing something. You're not just sitting and listening. You're not just complaining. You're doing something. Join the Army. We'll be right back. That's right, folks. If you're out there running down the roads, you know they're a little wet. Traffic's moving slow. So take your time. Give yourself a few extra minutes to get where you're going. And you are listening to the American Adversaries coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer, and FM 105.5. I am Christopher Hart. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. And joining me in the studio now is Jerry Shepherd of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz, one of our great new sponsors. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you being here. Let me just take care of a little bit of business before we get to the conversation with Jerry. As I said, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255 if you would like. Before we get into the meat of the show, I need to make a correction. I was wrong. Evidently, the FM signal has to go with the AM signal. According to the FCC, the way the situation is arranged with the FCC so that we can get an FM signal, it has to have the same programming that is running simultaneously on the AM signal. So I'm sorry, I was wrong. The Rays will be on both AM 660 The Answer and FM 105. So Monday through Friday, if we're preempted by the Rays, we're back to, you know, square one, back to plan A. And that is go to am660theanswer.com or download into your smart device the free AM 660 The Answer app, and then you will be able to listen to us on those devices. Because the games are only transmitted over the airwaves. Once again, as Major League Baseball regulations, contract, whatever, they can't be transmitted over the internet. So I'm sorry about that, and didn't mean to lead you astray. But once again, we will be here until 7 o'clock, only you'll have to listen to us on am660theanswer.com. Having said that, Wednesday and Thursday of this week, we should be able to go all 2 hours because of the scheduling of the Rays. And in August, most of August, we will be running the full 2 hours. That's the good news. The bad news, in September, most of September, we're going to get cut off that last half hour because the Rays will be playing almost all their games at home in September. So, having said all of that, once again, during the first hour, we talked about mostly the Iran deal with Abe Katzman. He's in New York tonight on his way back to Jerusalem. Obviously, we can't find anything good to say about this deal. And the president, it's a canard, this argument that he's making, that if it wasn't this deal, then we would obviously have to go to war with Iran. Now, there are a number of other options. And later on in the second half hour of this show, I'm going to go over an opinion piece written by Victor David Hansen, which appeared in, I believe, Saturday's Orlando Sentinel. Saturday's Orlando Sentinel, where he talks about what appeasement does and what we can expect. He pretty well kind of lays it out, and we'll get to that later on in the show. Once again, the details just keep getting worse. The president just keeps getting more arrogant, and the Secretary of State just keeps getting stupider.
Yeah.
So I guess, that's the lay of the land. But I did like, Ken, a fella Ken called the show and asked, why isn't there more public outrage here in the United States, at least from Israelis, from Jews, over this deal? As we've talked on the show before, and this goes not just for Jews, it goes for Catholics, it goes for Christians, it goes for any other group. If the person is a liberal Jew, liberal Catholic, liberal whatever, the liberal part always comes first.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The faith comes second. That's how Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden can be Catholics and still be pro-choice, right?
Right.
Because they're liberals first, and that's what we have to understand about Jews in America, especially many of them here in the state of Florida. They're liberals first. Just look at Debbie Wasserman Schultz, or as we like to sometimes say, Debbie was a man Schultz.
Yeah. Oh,
she is, liberal first, Jew second.
Yeah.
And so Israel comes second to their liberal cause. But nonetheless, I did like his idea of a protest march on Washington, D.C., and hopefully someone will organize it. If I had the wherewithal to do it, I would do it. But, I got my hands full right here.
Now, the president's in Kenya, right?
He just left Kenya last night for Nigeria, I believe.
I just didn't know they had golf courses over there.
By the way, I didn't see it, but several people have told me that they saw him doing some sort of dance, some Watusi or something while he was over there.
Wonderful.
Said the guy has no rhythm. He must have got that from his mom, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's over there lecturing them. They need to be more tolerant societies. And, he's talking about gay marriage and that sort of thing. And, of course, they don't want to hear that over there.
No.
And they have their priorities right. They got bigger problems, bigger fish to fry, so to speak. And we do, too.
But, right. He just needs to focus on what his job is.
Indeed, indeed, he does. Once again, the president will be back soon, back in Washington D.C. up to no good, as I like to think about it. So when he's on the golf course, you know, it's probably the best place for him these
days.
Yeah,
at least he's not hurting us.
At least not a whole lot. But hey, Jerry, you have been working with Mercedes-Benz for how long?
Oh, right at 30 years.
30 years? You had your own shop that long?
No, no. I worked for Mercedes for a while, and I worked, you know, independently before that, and then in my own business for 14 years.
Why Mercedes-Benz? Did you have an affinity for them, or is just that's where you got your job?
Yeah, no, I always liked them, and my dad always drove them, and I just really enjoyed working on them, and I think they're the best car made, so I just that's the only thing I work on.
They still build them by hand?
No, more robotics now. You know, you can't really survive building them by hand anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And did you go to the factory in Germany or anything?
I never got to go. I left Mercedes before I actually got to go over there. I was bummed about that, but you know.
Yeah.
I always thought, I'm going to go there one of these days.
And how long ago did you start your own shop?
14 years.
14 years ago in the same location?
No, we started over off of Loma.
Okay.
Right after 9/11.
Is that
9/11
right?
Was in September, of course.
Boy, you got a knack for timing, don't you?
Everybody told me, don't do it. But it worked out good. I mean, we started in February after 9/11. So.
And then you expanded into a new shop.
Right. We moved once within that original location. We moved positions in the industrial park, and then we bought our own building about 2 years ago.
And it's right off of Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF on a street called Econ Circle.
Correct.
And it's real easy to find, real easy to find. If you have a Mercedes-Benz, you need to have it in Jerry's care because he will make sure that that car runs right and gives you the best performance for the longest amount of time.
That is our goal.
And he'll do it at the best price.
That's right.
Hey, I want to go to Mike, who's been holding. Mike, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Excellent. How about you tonight?
Good. Hey, I heard you talking about I come in off of work, and I always turn you guys on as soon as I can. And I heard you talking about Obama dancing, and which I wanted to ask you, do you know who the best dancers are?
Who the best dancers are?
Yeah, well, I'm a Native American, so I want to say, okay, and do you know who they are?
No, who?
Native Americans, and you know why?
Why?
Because we can make it rain. Oh, wait. Is that racist? I'm sorry. I always forget. I don't know anymore.
Well, you see, you're like a black person using the N-word. You're entitled because you are a Native American, right?
It's like I can tell Polish jokes.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was adopted by Irish Catholics, so basically I was born to be a drunk. You don't know how many people give me a hard time for that. I go, I cannot make fun of myself. And they're like, that's just so bad. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm God and I got sober, so it's good.
All right, well, Nostradamus will appreciate that.
Okay, well, I just wanted to lighten your loafers a little bit. You have a good day, buddy.
All right, God bless you. Appreciate you being out there, Mike. And if you'd like to make a call or a comment, call us now at 407-774-8255. And Jerry is telling us about his shop over there on Alafaya Trail. And now, Mercedes-Benzes, are there any Mercedes-Benzes being built outside of Germany? Do they have factories like factories here in the United States?
Yeah, the M-Class. Actually, there's a couple of them. I'm not sure exactly which models, but the M-Class for a long time has been built in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then,
I mean, it's still a German design, and German, you know, the Germans still run it, but it's built here. Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. So Mercedes-Benz creating jobs in America.
That's right. Hey, they employ everybody that works at my place is an American, and you know, we work here, and we work on Mercedes. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, buying an imported brand. Most all cars are made somewhere else, essentially, at least the parts are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and American made is kind of a thing of the past, unfortunately.
Yeah, sure is.
But now Mercedes has this new model out that I think it retails starting at about $30,000, something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, the CLA.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice. They're, you know, they're front wheel drive, which is a departure from our normal, you know, what we have grown to love, which is a rear-wheel drive car. But the front-wheel drive, I guess it's not my personal favorite. But it's a nice driving car. Mercedes did a really good job on it. It doesn't have the torque steer that a lot of the other cars have.
For somebody who'd want to get a Mercedes, and that's their price range.
Very affordable.
Yeah.
And a good, really good driving car.
Yeah, and it's got Mercedes quality right behind
Absolutely.
It. Yeah. What kind of warranty do you get on a Mercedes when you buy one?
I want to say it's 4 years, 48,000 miles, I believe. We get them when they're out of warranty.
Right, yeah. You're not a dealer.
Yeah, I'm not the dealer.
You're the dealer alternative.
Right, exactly. I try to block that part out of my mind as much as possible.
I hear you. And by the way, it is summertime, and if you'd like a free safety check, you can take it over to Jerry's, right?
Absolutely. Come in. We'll check your tire pressures, belts, hoses, all your fluids and stuff, and keep you safe on the road. And like I said, you call my shop number after hours, you get my cell phone number, and I'd call me if it's an emergency, but I'd rather not hear from you. I want you to get there and get back without an incident.
That's right. And by the way, Jerry's phone number over there is 407-366-6499, and that's jerrysmb.com if you want to visit him on the website, jerrysmb.com. All right, when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You can join us once again if you like at 407-774-8255. I've got some good news out of Texas. The Texas Supreme Court has struck down or at least postponed and may have ended the bathroom law. I'll tell you what I mean when we come back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We are live on AM 660, The Answer, and FM 105.5. Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz is in the studio with us this afternoon, and I want to get back to the conversation with him real quick. How many guys you got working over there?
Well, we got Paul and Tim. My son Joe works there. My wife keeps the books.
Oh, that's great. Family operation there. That's the best way to do it. And how did they get their training?
Well, we do ongoing training. Tim worked for Mercedes-Benz. He worked for a couple of the dealers around for quite a while.
I see.
And then I kind of stole him.
I'm sure they appreciate that over the dealership.
But and Paul has been working on Mercedes pretty much all his life, too.
Yeah.
And he's got a great set of hands. I mean, he's amazing. He's so meticulous.
And I've been to the shop over there a couple of times, folks, and they are meticulous about how they keep it organized and clean. You can literally eat off the floor over there.
Usually.
And they have the state-of-the-art equipment, the lifts that they – I mean, it's like, you know, lifting a baby the way you guys lift those cars over there.
Got to be careful.
And so if you got a Mercedes-Benz, you need to take it over to Jerry and have him check it out. And meet Jerry and have him be your Mercedes guy.
Come buy him lunch.
There you go. That's right. And he will take care of your car in the meantime.
That's right.
And once again, it's just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF on Econ Circle. And, of course, you hear the commercials running during the show. But I certainly hope you and ask you if you have a Mercedes-Benz that you will do business with Jerry, because Jerry's doing business with me. And that means I can continue to do business with the radio station here, and you guys can continue to listen to
us. Win-win.
And listen to us give the business to the politicians. It is a win-win. So, we pride ourselves on our sponsors here. We look for sponsors who are quality individuals, who pretty much have the same ideals that we do in mind. And I know Jerry does. And so please, support him. And just get on over there and say hello. If you live in the area, just stop by. I drive a Volvo, and I'm not ashamed to go over there. Although Jerry said he's going to give me a magnet that I can stick on my hood.
Yeah, a loaner hood star. We'll make you park out back.
So once again, we really appreciate Jerry, and so hopefully you folks will check him out. He is the dealership alternative. They do great work over there. And so if you want somebody to take good care of your Mercedes-Benz, you'll put it in Jerry's hands and the fellas over there at Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. And Jerry's going to stick around a while. He's getting ready to go on vacation, though, or I'd invite you to Dubstred next week. You heard me talking about the Dubstred thing. But Jerry's getting ready to go on vacation. But if you would like to join us at Dubstred a week from tonight, folks, we're going to be there for the world's largest golf outing. Do you play golf by any
chance? No, I fish and... and dive and hunt and stuff. So
you do the real sports.
Well, I don't need another thing.
In there, I hear you. But we will be there. Worldslargestgolfouting.com is where you can register for it for $55. You can play a round of golf. And if you tell them you heard about it on the American Adversaries, they'll give you a free pass for another round of golf on Dubstred's course there. The course is located right there at Parr Avenue in Orlando, and it's to benefit the Wounded Warriors Project. So if you have the opportunity to come on out there and join us, please do. Rumor has it that there's going to be moonshine on the property. So,
ooh, boy. Watch out.
I can't wait to try some of that stuff. All right, I was teasing before we went to the break about the Texas Supreme Court has issued an order that the mayor of Houston, Mayor Anise Parker, and the city council are going to have to put on hold. Did I say Houston? I'll have to make sure I got that city right. They're going to have to put on hold their bathroom law. The bathroom law, they had passed an ordinance earlier this year that said that boys and girls can use the same bathroom.
Nice.
Now, where was this woman when I was in high school, right? We get all these puritanistic, only the boys can go in the boys' room and only the girls can go in the girls' room.
That's
right?
So archaic.
It is.
That's sexist.
But obviously there was a great deal of outrage. Some pastors in the community got a petition together, signed a petition, came up with enough signatures that according to the city charter, this was supposed to have been put to a vote. It was not. The mayor was going to try to make this implement this anyway. This was a citywide thing. And for all the schools and in the area, including the church schools, if I'm not mistaken. Now, this is the same mayor that, if you remember, I think it was, 6 or 8 months ago, she was the one saying that she wanted copies of all the sermons that the pastors were giving in their churches.
Is she friends with Obama?
She must be. One of his long-lost sisters, right?
Yeah.
But the Texas Supreme Court has says you have 30 days to make this right. Either put it on the ballot or do away with it.
Wow.
You cannot just do this on your own. So thank God this particular Supreme Court got it right on this issue.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is, that they would even pass such an ordinance to begin with, but that it would take it to go to the Texas Supreme Court to do something about it.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It is, and that's what we're fighting in this world, is this kind of lunacy. But once again, at least the Texas Supreme Court has put this one right. And it is Houston mayor. It is the Houston mayor, Anise Parker.
Wow.
So,
and Houston's huge.
It is. It is. I wonder how this liberal woman got elected mayor of Houston. But evidently, Houston is the liberal hangout in Texas, from what people have told me.
Wow.
I don't know. I've only been to Texas one time. Went to Denton, Texas.
I drove through there 1 week.
Yeah, it took you the whole week, right?
Yeah, just about. That's huge.
All right. I visited Jimmy Carter's sister in Denton, Texas.
Wow.
She had a little retreat, a little getaway type thing. It was a very interesting weekend, to say the least.
Just beer and peanuts, right?
Let's just say it would have been a whole lot funner if Billy had been there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to take a break. Once again, I'm sorry. I was wrong. FM 105 and AM 660 will both be broadcasting the Rays game. So hopefully you'll stick with us. Go to AM660TheAnswer.com. And don't forget to visit Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF on Econ Circle. And Jerry will stick with us, and we'll be right back.
Thanks.
All right, that's right, folks. You can trust us. You can't trust those scallywag politicians. That's a fact. But you can trust the American Adversaries. And once again, we're live now on AM660TheAnswer.com. So if you're listening, you're listening on your computer or smart device, and that means you are a loyal listener, and we definitely appreciate that. I am Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me is Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. And, Jerry, you're getting ready to go on a little fishing trip. You got a boat and everything. Yep. What do you think about these two 14-year-old kids who were out there? Was that a sailboat that they were on?
No, they were in a 19-foot center console.
But they were on their way to the Bahamas?
Yeah, and, you know, it's weird. I haven't gotten all the facts on it, but, you know, we've crossed from the Bahamas from that same inlet, the Jupiter Inlet.
Okay.
And you can go across, and you go over to, you know, over to the Bahama Bank and go into Grand Bahama.
How far is that?
I want to say it was about 60 miles.
It's that close?
Yeah, it's very close. 60
but,
nautical.
But you're going over an ocean for 60 miles.
Yeah, it's very, and right now the weather's very unstable. It's rough out there. In a 19-foot boat, you better have another boat or two with you. And, you know, at 14, how many years experience can you have?
Their parents bragged on them, but nonetheless, I mean,
yeah.
Even if it were experienced people, if it were older adults, that would not have been a safe situation.
No, and they had a single engine. I mean, it's not a good, you know, a lot of people cross in boats like that, but it's not the right boat for it.
It's not a great idea.
No, it's not a great idea, especially alone. And my heart goes out to those people. I can't believe that the parents actually condoned it. I don't think there's no way they could have condoning them going to the Bahamas. Well, you can't check into customs over there, and they're minors. I mean,
oh, that dawned on me too. What were they going to do when they got there?
Right, you have to go in and clear customs and get a fishing license and do all that. Otherwise, you're, you know, in violation of the law. Once you cross the EEZ line, you have to go over without fishing, check in at a port, fly a quarantine flag, the whole bit, and then get your licenses and all, and come back out, and then you can fish, unless you do it illegally, of course,
right,
which is not a good idea. But so they couldn't have done that. So it was just, I think they were doing it just on their own. They were like telling their buddies, hey, we're going to the Bahamas, you know, and I'm sure the parents didn't condone it.
It certainly was an ill-fated plan, because the boat has been found. But at last check before I came on the air, I guess they had not found either one of the boys yet.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too.
Yeah, and then of course the longer it goes, the less likely they'll find them alive anyway.
Yeah, you go in the water out there. I've lost divers before, or a diver one time, and mm-hmm. he was about 200 yards from the boat, and we couldn't see him.
Is that right?
Yeah, and we knew about where he should be,
mm-hmm.
and I found myself calling the Coast Guard on the radio. It was an out-of-body experience, and I hope I never have to do that again. But we found the guy.
Oh, that's good.
So
Yeah, Mike McBath has told us a similar story happened to he and his wife. They were out, I believe it was in the Gulf, and might have been down there around the Keys, and they were out, like, snorkeling. And they got a little bit separated from the boat, and they came up, and the boat couldn't find them, and they could see the guy, and, you know, and they were waving and yelling, but he couldn't find them.
Yep.
So the guy left and got, I guess, went and got the Coast Guard. Anyway, he and his wife just kept swimming, you know, trying to head for the shore, and finally some guy just out in a boat stumbled upon them. What are y'all doing out here?
Yeah. It's amazing how fast that water's moving. You get out in the middle of the ocean. And if your boat is anchored, you wouldn't believe the current's moving like 3-4 knots.
And that's because it's the Gulf Stream.
Well, yeah, right? You're inside of the Gulf Stream when you're diving.
I see. Yeah.
But we dive off Port Canaveral and Daytona a lot, and the water's generally going north.
Yeah.
And it's going at a good clip.
Wow. Well, hopefully somehow those boys will be found alive, but we'll just have to wait and see. But nonetheless, it just seemed to me like a bizarre story.
Yeah, very odd.
Definitely. Okay. The golf tournament next week, once again, is going to be Monday at Dubstred. We'd love to have you folks come out. And once again, I think I said it earlier, you don't have to play golf. You can still come out and participate in it. They have a restaurant there. Have you ever been to Dubstred lately?
Yeah, I've been there a bunch of times.
The country club, yeah, it's
nice. We used to have
our
fishing club meetings there.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's fun to ride around the cart. I love doing that.
Watching other people get mad and slamming their clubs down on the ground. But, you know, they just did a refurbish of a part of the course there because of the I-4 project going on there. Evidently, they rely on Dubstred for some of the drainage from the water off of I-4 there. So they gave them some money as part of the I-4 project. I guess they had to change around some of the terrain of the golf course. But this I-4 project is just a huge boondoggle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. I didn't realize, but I found out recently that when they finish, we're not going to have extra lanes.
What?
There'll be the same number of lanes, only there'll be toll lanes as well as free lanes.
Oh, so they're just adding. So they're the same amount now as we have now?
That's my understanding. Is that there will not be, for instance, where there were four lanes, there will be four lanes, but one of them will be a toll lane.
Oh, well, that'll fix it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great idea.
It's a great idea, all right. And this is another little dealy that we got from our legislature. And Rick Scott signed it into law a couple of years ago that roads in Florida are supposed to be, let's just say, toll roads are supposed to be the way of the future. Let's just put it that way. that toll roads are going to become more and more a part of our everyday life. And the I-4 project is just an example of that. And already the state of Florida has more toll miles than any other state in the union. It's something like 700 miles, 400 miles, something like that. Anyway, the most in the country of toll road miles.
I'll show you my Sun Pass, Bill. I believe it.
Yeah, and that's only going to be more and more of that situation. And part of the idea is that they want to make driving more and more of a pain in the butt so that you will look towards things like SunRail, mass transit, or if you live out of town, to sell your house out of town and move into town where you'll live in a sort of...
planned community.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they have these, what they call, what do they call them? They're not called enterprise zones, but it's something similar to that, where in cities around the country, the federal government is providing grants and things to bring communities back into these planned areas downtown, where they'll have SunRail, like the SunRail station downtown. They have plans built like, you know, condominium towers and things down there.
And, of course, they're going to bring them in the right ethnic distribution.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
yeah,
HUD's that's important.
HUD's going to have a big say in that sort of thing. But it's just crazy. It's crazy. We need new politicians, and we need, I'm sorry to say, but we got to clean house with the Republicans, too. It's just...
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of people, I think, know that, and that's why I think Trump has popularity.
Absolutely. He's appealing to, we were talking about this earlier during the break, the middle of the Republican Party. We don't go along with the party. I mean, the party is just, I don't even like the whole party thing. You know, we need to get the best candidate in there. We need somebody that'll fight.
Indeed. And that's what Trump's showing he will do. Once again, we call the show the American Adversaries because we have an adversarial form of government. But if we don't have honest-to-God adversaries, it doesn't work. We need people who are going to be in there and fight and not get along with the other side. That's what makes it work.
Remember on Bugs Bunny, the sheep and the wolf?
Yeah.
They'd clock in, and they'd go out there and chase each other around, and they'd clock
yeah.
out and leave.
That's it.
That's what we got,
That's
man.
What we got. That's a great metaphor there, analogy. Yeah, I remember, yeah, they would like, hey, how you doing,
how
Al?
How you doing, Joe?
Yeah.
And then they'd punch in.
Of course, the dog always won.
Yeah.
Over the wolf. But, yeah, that's exactly right. And so we need good, solid fighters in there. And that's where guys like Jeb Bush just come up short. We just don't get the feeling that he's going to fight for conservative values.
Yeah.
We get the feeling that he's going to be a soft touch.
Yeah, his biggest response is, I don't know.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, people just, we just fed up with it. We're sick of it, and we want something different. When people come to the shop, do they ever talk politics much?
Oh, yeah.
They do?
Oh, yeah. We talk politics a lot. And you know, it's funny because a lot of people are scared of it.
Yeah.
They don't want to really engage. But I've got I've got a couple of Democrats, the token Democrats, I guess. You know,
yeah.
Not really token. But there's just a few of them that come in there that we engage in nice bantering back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
And we love it.
Well, and it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's the exchange of ideas. And even if you're locked in what you believe, just hearing new ideas every now and then makes you pause and think.
Right. I had this one guy that works at UCF. We had a thing on the last election that he was going to give me his Obama button.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If McCain won, or...
Romney.
Romney, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I was going to give you my Romney button Obama won.
So you don't have your Romney button anymore,
I'm not
I guess.
Sure. I'm not sure I followed up and actually gave it to him. I may have reneged on that.
I was going to say, did you take it out and put a slug through it
yeah.
first?
I would have on the Obama, but sometimes, like when an Obama sticker comes in the shop, we cover it. I mean, we have standards.
Oh, I hear you. But you know, we'll see what happens with the campaign, but I'm pretty certain that we're not going to be satisfied with one of the establishment candidates, and if he gets picked, it's not going to be good for the Republican Party one way or the other. People are just too dissatisfied at this stage of the game.
Well, do you remember back when the before Obama, the Republicans had the majority? I mean, we were, and they screwed it up royally.
They did.
And I mean, they were just as bad as the Democrats.
They were.
And I remember that. And I'm thinking, you know, here we go again.
Yeah. That's why we need somebody, you know, cut from a different cloth,
right,
if you will. And I believe one of those people would be Don Trump. I believe Ted Cruz is another, even though he's in politics. I believe he is a different kind of politician, and I think he's showing us that. And what he did Friday, that to me wasn't out of the ordinary, nor was it out of the bounds. You know, when he stood up and called Mitch McConnell a liar. Right there on the Senate floor. And, of course, there was, you don't do that on the Senate floor.
That's just not done.
That's just not done. Unless, of course, you're Harry Reid talking about a conservative.
Right.
Then it's okay. Right? Once again, it's just this stupid double standard.
Well, it's like with the whole deal about the, you know, everybody's all enraged about Donald Trump saying something about McCain's war hero status.
Right.
Well, that whole thing was, you know, Chris Rock did that during the Obama election, back when he was running against McCain. Chris Rock made fun of McCain and said exactly that. Trump just repeated it.
Well, and McCain's a false hero.
Yeah.
He's a false hero. And we don't need false heroes anymore.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sorry he was a POW, but there are POWs, and then there are POWs.
Right. We need John Wayne.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. We need somebody who's very principled and won't back off the principles and doesn't care what the media thinks about him. There he is, Ronald Reagan. Jerry's pointing to Reagan, who's looking over his shoulder right here in the studio. All right. We're coming up on break time, so we'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll finish out today's show. Once again, I hope you'll join us 1 week from tonight at Dubs Dread Country Club. And hope you'll be there the whole day, as a matter of fact, for the world's largest golf outing. Come on out there and play some golf with Mike McBath and the guys. All right, so you are listening to The American Adversary. He's got Peter Moon over here playing the drums. Yeah. All right, don't forget, once again, please join the American Adversaries Army. Go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. You're on your computer right now or your smart device. You can do it as soon as the show is over. You can sign up, and for a mere $5 a month, you can be a part of our Army. You get a great newsletter, and you will be entered into a drawing for our cruise coming up on November the 13th. All right, so please don't go away, because we'll be back.
Keith Moon was a wild man.
All right, we're having the time of our lives. That's right, folks. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Thanks again for being with us. That's right, that's the Dancing Queen song that we play for our dear and glorious president, Barack Hussein Obama. That's right, he was over there trying to do the dance step in Kenya. Looked like that exercise video, though, that we caught him doing when he was working with, like, the two-pound dumbbells. Did you ever see that?
No, I never saw it. I can only imagine.
Oh, golly, was that hilarious.
I like the picture of him on the bike. When they compare him to Putin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's unfair.
That is unfair.
To compare Barack Obama, the sissy president, to a guy like Vladimir Putin. Once again, welcome back to the show. And I was just talking with Jerry. We were talking during the break here. And once again, I want to just kind of get back to the state of politics here. We as voters kind of have ourselves to blame a little bit for the predicament that we're in. That's the bad news. The good news is, though, when we put our foot down and demand something better, we can demand something better.
Right.
And that's, I think, where we're at now.
Absolutely. I mean, we need to make a change. I mean, it's got to go. We got to branch off in a different direction. This ain't going to work.
It's not going to work. And I tell you, this deal, this Iranian deal, the president's, you know, riding high on this right now. He, you know, he's, you know, patting himself on the back. John Kerry's feeling pretty good. But,
he,
you know.
He and Teresa.
Yeah. Very, very, yeah. You got a nice way you pronounce that. But Victor David Davis Hanson wrote an excellent article that appeared in Saturday's Orlando Sentinel, where he talks about appeasement. And it's kind of a process with appeasement, you know, that you got to go through, kind of like the mourning process, if you will, you know, grieving process. Says, first, appeasement always brings short-term jubilation at the expense of long-term security. British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain was a beloved peacemaker after the Munich Agreement of 1938, but derided as a conceited fool by May 1940. So,
wow.
So he says a few years from now, when Iran's blackmailing us, you know, John Kerry, who's probably going to get the Nobel Peace Prize because of this, is going to be seen like Neville Chamberlain. He's going to be seen as a bumbling fool. He says, second, the appeasement of autocrats always pulls the rug out from domestic reformers and idealists. This is something that I was talking about this, when it comes to Cuba and Iran. When we make friends with the dictators, it means they're going to be around a whole lot longer.
Sure, we legitimize.
Exactly. We have legitimized their regime.
Yep.
And in both countries, the people don't want to live under those dictatorial regimes.
No, and just unlocked all their money.
Exactly, and which is going to make them even more dictatorial.
Oh, yeah.
In the process. By the way, I saw a story today where the Cuban soccer team was over here playing soccer. Half of them have defected to the United States. I guess
wow.
they don't believe in Obama's, you know, detente with the Cuba down there.
Wow.
Third, appeasers have always wrongly insisted that the only alternative to concessions is war. And as we talked about with Abe, no, that's not always. It doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
For the small-minded, perhaps you can only see one or the other. But for instance, with the Iranian deal, we could have kept talking.
Sure.
Right? According to the administration, they weren't doing anything bad as long as they were talking. So why not keep talking?
They're the ones that wanted to bring this deal to a conclusion to get their money.
To get their money and get the deal that they knew the best deal that they would get.
Right.
Because of this president. Fourth, beneficiaries grow to hate their appeasers. In other words, the Iranians, not that they don't already hate us enough, are going to hate us even more.
Sure.
Such ingratitude might seem counterintuitive, Hanson says. But we should remember that Hitler called his Munich appeasers worms and pushed them even further. Kind of sounds like the Ayatollah over there, right?
Yeah.
And fifth, allies are always the big losers in appeasement. Our allies, of course, in this being Israel and Saudi Arabia. They will be the big losers, but we will all be losers. There's no question about that. And he says, finally, outside observers of appeasement always make the necessary geostrategic adjustments. In other words, other people in the region are paying attention. And so they're going to reassess their relationship, say, with us as a result of this deal. Maybe now their thinking is maybe we need to be more friendly with Iran and less friendly with the United States. And that's bad news.
It is bad news.
Bad news all the way around. Or, for instance, maybe if they don't want to make friends with Iran, they think maybe we're going to have to take care of business on our own and not wait for the United States or not seek the leadership of the United States. Either way, it's bad news for us.
And it's scary stuff. You know, the United States turning their back on Israel.
That's
been foretold.
That perhaps, you know, is the worst part of this when you get right down to it.
Yep.
Is we have turned our back on Israel. Now we're trying to buy them off with some weapons and a prisoner, Jonathan Pollard. Right? As though that's going to make everything okay. It's kind of like you just committed adultery on your wife and you think a bouquet of flowers is going
right.
to make things all fine
right,
and dandy.
I'll throw in a box of chocolates.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I'm sorry. It's just not enough because it doesn't address the real problem.
Right.
The real problem wasn't Jonathan Pollard. The real problem wasn't conventional weapons that Israel didn't have enough. The real problem is this nuclear deal itself. And unfortunately, anybody that supports it now is going to be sadly regretting that they supported such as this. But it is what it is, and now what we have to do is we're going to have to deal with it because the Congress is, I don't believe, going to be able to stop this because they've already shot themselves in the foot. They didn't have to do anything. If they didn't like this deal before they passed the Corker bill, all they would have had to do was say, okay, well, we're not going to lift the sanctions. You can have your deal, but we're not going to lift the sanctions. But now they're going to have to override a presidential veto.
Right. They don't have it.
No, they do not have it. So,
it's sad. It really is sad.
It is sad, but it makes it even that much more important that we choose the right person to be our next president. We can't just settle for any old Republican. We can't just circle the wagons around any old Republican. We've got to make our move in the primary process here, and we've got to get the right person at the top of the ticket.
Absolutely.
And hopefully it'll be somebody like Trump, if not Trump, but somebody like him, somebody who's undaunted, who's unafraid, who's bold, and who's ready to act.
Absolutely.
And ready to act right now. All right, Jerry, thanks for being with us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. I love being there.
Well, thanks. And once again, thanks for your sponsorship. Enjoy your vacation. And we'll look forward to you coming in and telling us all about it.
The lobster are in trouble.
The lobsters are in trouble. All right. Once again, you've been listening to The American Adversaries. Thanks for listening to us on your computer or your smart device. We really appreciate that. And once again, if you can join us over at the Dubs Dread Country Club a week from tonight, we would appreciate if you would do that as well. And the proceeds for that fundraiser, once again, are going to the Wounded Warriors Project. And once again, that's the world's largest golf outing.com. If you want to register, find out more about it, just go to world's largest golf outing.com. And don't forget to tell them you heard all about it on The American Adversaries. And that way you'll get a free round of golf to go with that. So that's just about going to wrap it up for tonight. But once again, I want to thank you so much for being out there. And once again, if you could see your way to do it, join the American Adversaries Army. Become a part of what we're doing around here. And I guarantee you, you will not regret it. And it's so easy to do. Just go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and look for the recruiting office. And you can sign up right there online, or you can do it through the mail. Or if you choose to do like Warren and you just want to send us a contribution through the mail, that's fine too. And I'll make you a part of the American Adversaries Army as a thank you for that. So once again, Jerry, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and you folks, thank you for being out there, and don't forget to listen to The American Adversaries every day live at 5, at least every day but Saturday, and on that day you can listen to Carl Jackson. Night, everybody.